And I just love something that I heard about Kamala Harris today. She said that she talked with Donald Trump, and she said, I want to hand over the presidency to you in a good fashion. And I think that's what America, that's how we need to be here in America. We need to be like that. So God bless. Father, in Jesus' name, I just pray for Kamala right now. Lord God, I pray that you create circumstances. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray that you change circumstances. Lord God, I pray that you would allow circumstances in Kamala Harris's life, that she becomes born again, that she becomes a believer, and that we all get closer to you. And we pray for our new president, President Trump. Lord, that every fiber of his being is born again, and he realizes that you saved his life here beginning a few weeks ago. God, thank you, Lord. Thank you for all your kindness. We know for sure that you've heard our cries and our prayers for a better life for us coming up. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. And everybody say it, amen. Amen and amen and amen. Well, it was a beautiful day. We just had a good food day here at the Paris Christian Center. We got lots of good food, like Kelly was mentioning. You'll see when you go back there. If you look, and if you're like Santa Claus, if you look twice, you're going to find something you want to take home with you. There's a lot of goodies there tonight, okay? Amen, amen, and amen, and amen. Well, I want to share some thoughts with you that have been kindling in my heart. And we're going to begin in Mark chapter 11, verses 24 and 25. In the King James translation of the Bible, these are the words of Jesus, the Messiah. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. And when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. Could I have verse 26 also, please? But if you will not forgive, if you did not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive you your trespasses. One of the most powerful teachings in the Bible that we have to grasp is the doctrine, the teaching of forgiveness. You have to know how to get forgiveness for yourself, which involves you having to forgive yourself at times. And you have to know how to forgive others. And I must tell you that I'm entitled this few minutes, praying for forgiveness for your enemies, for people that have rubbed you the wrong way, that have done something wrong to you. And I want to share some thoughts that I think will, I want to bring out one key thought here in these four places that I'm going to read. And I want you to understand them fully. Fellas in the sound booth, if you'll give me Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 through 48 in the New Living Translation. I need that in the NLT, please. You have heard, these are the words of Jesus. Again, you have heard the law that says, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Now, I'm telling you, when Jesus came, he brought the power of grace. And grace is unmerited favor from God. It's unmerited, undeserving forgiveness from God. And he wants us to forgive the same way. Now listen what Jesus said here. You've heard that the law says, and indeed it does in the Old Testament, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say, love your enemies, exclamation point. Pray for those who persecute you. In that way, you will be acting as true children of your Father in heaven. For the Father in heaven, he makes his sunlight to be both on the evil people and the good. And he's saying, sends rain to the just and the unjust alike. I can tell you this, I was sure after that drought that it wouldn't take very long of rain that I would say, I'm canceling all the rest of the rain for the next week. I mean, we just got some record. We had a record drought. We had in Logan County the driest, hottest month of October since 1893. Now, that's a long, long time. And but I just had a feeling, man, when that rain comes, it's going to come with like a vengeance. And there were flood flashes. And yesterday morning, thinking about those flood reports that we were going to have problems here, I came to the church about 4:30 in the morning, and I was just looking at this ditch over here, seeing how it was flowing. Now they fixed it, and that big blue pipe there, I guarantee you that's water pipe. It looks like it's about 14, 18 inches, something like that. It's going to carry that water out of here. And then I thought to myself, well, they did not take into consideration the drought. And I mean, we didn't get as flooded as they thought they would. Why? Because we were so droughty. There was nothing. Waters and ponds was missing, and so on and so forth. But it all turned out good, and I think we're going to get into a nice even flow now. Our temperature is even a little bit more like it should be in the month of November. So praise God for all of that. And let me just continue. But I say, love your enemies. Now God means that. That's a New Testament request from God. If you won't forgive your enemies, God will not forgive you. And it doesn't say that he can't. There isn't very much that God cannot do. But he won't. Why? Because he's obligated to turn us into children of God, children of heaven, children that will be on this earth to rule for 1,000 years with him and to be with him forever in heaven. As he said, let not your hearts be troubled. In my Father's house there are many mansions. In that way, you'll be acting as true children of your Father in heaven. For the Father in heaven gives sunlight to both the evil and the good. He sends rain on the just and the unjust alike. I guarantee you, when that rain was coming down, I know it got on everybody. Amen. How many of you saw that rain? You thought, wow, that's a lot of rain. Didn't we get something like 6, 8, 9 inches, something like that? Yeah, lots and lots of rain. So 46 says this, if you only love those who love you, what reward is there for that? See, that's not being a Christian. If you only love those that love you, that's not enough. What's requisite is far more than that. He wants us to love those that have hurt us. See, that's not easy. You know what? If this was easy, look at these empty seats. If this was easy, everybody would be doing it. But it's not easy. See? Because this is what it really means to be a believer. We're going to have to act like God. We're the children of God. We were made in his image. Genesis 1, 26, 27, let us make man in our image after our likeness. And let them have dominion over all the earth, including over every demon, including the angels, to command the angels to do our bidding here on earth. And I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Not one key, but a whole bunch of keys. And whatever you open on earth will be opened in heaven. And whatever you lock on earth will be locked in heaven. And I've lived long enough to see that those Bible verses are absolutely, totally, totally true. verse 47 says, if you are kind only to your friends, how are you different from anybody else? Even pagans do that. But you are to be perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Well, I can't do that. Well, I don't know. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens and instructs me. If the Word says it and we believe it and we'll apply it, we can do it. And many, many in the church throughout my years as a pastor and just a Christian, I think there were more people that were kinder than me and more easygoing. And there's been times it's not been very easy for me to forgive enemies, especially when they hurt people around that are innocent people. And you want to take matters into a different route, but that God doesn't really want us to take. So if we just do what everybody else does, what the Word says is that's not enough. It's not enough. God didn't save you to be like the God of this world, small g. He said of some, you're of your father, the devil, and he was a liar and a murderer from the beginning. He doesn't want that. He won't. That's not acceptable. What we have to be able to do is to become like God. How do you do that? Well, you won't do it without a Bible. You won't do it without studying that Bible. See who God is. See what he requires. Look at the things, how he let people pass on things, how he showed his mercy many times. And the greatest one to look at is his only begotten Son. And turn with me now to Luke chapter 23 and First Corinthians chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would have never crucified Jesus. Now, you have to look at the sacrifice. John the Baptist was looking at him one day, and he said, behold, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. And you can't take away the sins of the world if you're judgmental and cynical, which Jesus was not. And he requires that we be, and God the Father requires that we be like him, that we forgive as he forgiven. Because if not, we're no different than anybody else. And you want to be different. You want to be able to forgive. You want to be able to pray through. You have to be able to let things go. And as I said, I've met many people that was very just easy for. And it's always been hard for me as I watch people and some of the things they say and do. And so I want to turn to one last place this evening, the book of Luke, chapter 23 and verse 34. Jesus was on the cross. This is how you forgive like Jesus did. See, forgiveness is not a way of feeling. Forgiveness is an active will on your part to do something constructive. And look what he said there. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I'm going to tell you something about forgiveness. Millie, do you have my telephone? There was a few things on there. Could you get that for me real quick? And I'm just going to take it, pull it out. I want to show you some really good things that the Word says about forgiveness. You might have saw this post. I saw it and I liked it. And it said how to forgive the biblical way. Did you see that post? Yeah. Yes. It says, first of all, you pray. You pray for your enemies. Now, listen, there's a lot of ways to pray. But what Jesus was doing here was acting as the public defender for everybody that was killing him at the moment in a very horrid, horrid way. And what he did, what he presented to his father, was similar to what Moses did. He said, Father, forgive them, because they really don't understand what they're doing. Because if they could see what you and me could see, they wouldn't do this. You have to understand, it was religion that killed Jesus. It was the forefront. It was religion. It was people that said, unless you're doing our little clique over here, you're not saved. Unless you're doing this over here. And all the denominations are like that. They all have creeds that are not biblical. It's what they just decided. I was up to be, they wanted me to be ordained in a certain denomination. I never was in a denomination until I came here. And the Lord said, Angelo, I want you to spend a season at this particular church. I'm going to teach you about what you're getting yourself into here. And I met with the board of deacons and the pastor, and they said, we've got lots of nice little churches. We'd like to put you in one of them. And he said, but there's one thing that we have to do. He said, we've got some papers drawn up, and you're going to have to sign that says the Holy Spirit is not for now, and speaking in tongues is not real, and the gifts of the Spirit are not real, and Jesus doesn't heal anymore. There's no healing anymore. And I just said, well, fellas, I couldn't do that. I'm sorry. I can't do that. And that was my end of being with denominations. Denominations in about $1.25 will get you a cup of coffee anywhere in America. But that's about all it's worth. On the other hand, we are not non-denominational here. I talked to my best man's daughter in Nevada. One of my dear friends, Bob Moraldo, passed away the other day. He was the best man at my wedding. And I said, what kind of church are you going to? I said, is it interdenominational? She says, well, it's non-denominational. I said, well, what kind of praise and worship do you have? And they have praise and worship like us. And they're word people. But this church is not non-denominational. This church is interdenominational. And what that means is we're not against anybody. But we're not going to be put in, we're not a denomination. We are just Jesus people is what we are. And that's, you know what? That's enough. And it's sad that it's going to be too late if you wait till you die to find out some of these things. Because what God's looking for is somebody that's emulating his son and walking in the divine nature of Jesus the Christ, the Lamb of God. So we have, everybody is welcome to come to this church. Everybody is welcome to partake in this church. It doesn't matter. Anybody can have communion with us. Anybody can say, I don't want to take communion here. That doesn't bother us. We're not affected by that. We leave that up to each individual. We are interdenominational. We don't really have a beef with anybody, actually. And we love them. Just in the month of August, Millie and I, we lived long enough to renew our vows. We had Father Jerome officiate our service because I love Father Jerome and I feel him as a brother in the Lord. I I don't have anything against, I can't afford the luxury of being critical of anybody else. I'm just trying to make sure every day, where am I? How close am I to hitting the mark that I'm supposed to be hitting? Does that make sense to you? Amen. And it also gives us a lot of relief. We don't have to be angry at anybody. We don't have to isolate anybody. When we go to the grocery store, we can say hey to everybody. And we must forgive everybody and anybody, even our enemies. If the princes, here's Jesus, and here's the key. If you'll notice what he's doing, he's acting as a public defender for those that are killing him while he's on the cross. Now, how does that relate to you? Well, you want to, God wants you to forgive your enemies. And what does it mean to forgive your enemies? Well, one of the things it means to do is to put yourself in their place and say, I don't think they meant what they did to me. You know, that takes a whole different nature to say that. I don't think they knew what they did. So forgive them, Father. I really don't. Now there's Jesus. Man, religion in his day, look at Paul, the Apostle Paul. He's going to Damascus to harass a bunch of Christians, and Jesus smites him off of his mount. He said, Saul, Saul, why in the world are you persecuting me? It's hard to get away with that. It's impossible. He said, Lord, who are you that I'm persecuting? He said, I'm Jesus of Nazareth. It's what you're doing is wrong. From that moment, that encounter, I pray to God everybody could have an encounter with Jesus like that. A life-changing, redirecting encounter with the living God, the forgiver. And as I say, this is especially true of communion. You have to understand, Jesus is just not your one-time Savior. He's your continual forgiver. And if you're telling me you've never sinned since you've asked Christ into your life, I don't believe you. I sure know I have. I need the work of the Savior. And the work of the Savior, communion is about renewal. Regularly, do this in remembrance of me. Remember what I did on that cross for you. It's still alive and powerful today. And when I saved you, I knew there was still going to be problems with you, but I chose you anyway. You're special anyway. As long as you just halfway go along with my Father and myself and my Spirit, we've got no beef against you. For God not to have a beef against you, you can't have a very big beef against anybody else. You've got to turn that loose. I'm not saying that you got to have tea and crumpets with that person every day. I'm saying a few things here that I think are really, really good. I want you to hear them. Each one of these has Bible verses. If you want this afterwards, I'll give it to you. But it's all so common. But I just felt, I just had an encounter with the truth here recently. And I had to forgive like this. I checked my own self. See, you know what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 about forgiveness, about communion? It says, but if you would judge your own life, see, we're not here to judge somebody else's life. Can I get an amen for the truth? Yeah. We're here to judge our life, though, because that's what communion is. Take an inventory. Take an honest look at your life. Know where you're weak. Know where you're failing. If you're not failing this week, that's fine. I'm not saying that you have to fail all the time. What I'm saying is what you have to try to do is be honest all the time. This is a place of tremendous opportunity every Wednesday night from 7 to 8. But listen to this. It says, quote from Matthew 5:44. Would it be hard to get Matthew 5:44 up in any King James or anything real quick? I wasn't going to do this. I didn't ask them to, but they're so good. God bless you, fellas. You're doing such a great job. Matthew 5:44. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. You know how many stories I hear every day and how much stuff, Kelly brings it up on Facebook about people and problems they're having with people, and you can't tell the Christians from the non-Christians. We're just as hateful as the rest of them. This cannot be. It cannot be. We're going to have to be a little more like Jesus. So it says, pray, and pray in this way. Pray for those people that are hurting you. Pray for that person that made you lose your last job. Pray for that person that took your last girlfriend or boyfriend. Pray for them. Stop being angry and start being Jesus. It's high time. You know, as I was praying about the presidency and how I wanted it to go, God didn't say this to me. I said it to myself. But you know, what's God going to get out of this? If he helps us in this way, what is God going to? Are we going to be the same crummy people, nitpicking, small-minded, cynical Christians? I'm going to try not to be. I got a list of people that I'm working on forgiving one day at a time. I'm trying to be what I'm supposed to be, because I have an inner witness that tells me I got things that I got to get right, because I know they're not right. You know, the most foolish person in this room or any room in the world is the person that doesn't know what he needs to work on. That you know more about your enemy's problems than you do about your own problems. It's high time we stop that and we begin to thank God for everything he's given us, and we begin to treat people the way God wants us to treat them. Okay, that was number one. Number two, don't speak poorly of people who have let you down, that you call an enemy. If you could, fellas, put up Romans 12:14. I didn't check up out these verses. We'll just see. The first one was right on. Romans 12 and verse 14. Bless them. Okay, look here now. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Now, you know what it sounds like to me? God is positively sure of how he wants us to be. And if it was easy, this church would be full right now. It ain't easy. But you know what it is? It's something more important than easy. It's right. This is the way we should be behaving if we're going to call ourselves believers, or we're going to confuse people. And that's not good. Because if you confuse people, Jesus said it's better if you take a millstone and tie it around your neck and cast it into the Arkansas River than to cause somebody to fall. So this is what communion is about. Communion, first of all, before you take the bread, before you take the cup, you take that look into your own life, an honest look into your life. If a person would judge themselves, then God would not have to correct us. That's what the word says. So, don't speak poorly. And I've done it. It hadn't been long. I've done it. It's wrong. It's wrong when I do it. It's wrong when anybody does it. But I'm not worried about anybody else. I'm worried about me tonight. I've done it. I've done it recently. It's wrong. Please forgive me. It's not the way we should be. Now look at this one. Put up Romans chapter 12, verses 17 through 19. Kelly touched on this earlier. Release them from your punishment. Romans chapter 12, verses 17 through 19 says this. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of everybody. If it be possible, as much as it concerns you, live peaceably with everybody. Now, to do that, many times you have to turn the other cheek. You can't give railing for railing. You can't come back with a better one, a better cut down than they gave you. I went through a season of my life when when God was really teaching me this, I just would tell somebody, I'm going to let you have the last word. And I'd wait for it. I'd wait for it. And then I'd walk away from it. Because I was trying to get me right. Let's stop worried about our kids and this one and that one and our neighbor and the person that we don't like. Let's just try to work on us. There's one amen. But it's the truth. It's the truth. Okay. So that was release them from your punishment. God punished them. I'm your child. I want you to punish them. I want something. I want them to be stopped. You know what God's saying? If I do that, what do I get out of it? You know what Jeremiah chapter 17 says? The heart is deceitful, extremely wicked. Who can know it? And in Jeremiah chapter 17, it says, there's only one person that knows the heart. It's God. What if that person ain't as bad as we think they are? What if there's something else going on that we don't know about? I'm asking, I'm appealing to your spiritual, biblical wisdom right now and scrutiny to know the scriptures enough. I'm asking you, let's be a new church. Let's be a new people. How many of you believe that God has blessed you, your family, and this nation tremendously? I think it's high time we start paying God back more than what we've been paying. We've just been paying on the interest. I believe we need to start paying on the principle of the matter. Can I get an amen? Yes, yes. We need to be. And you know what? If a Christian isn't merciful, what is a Christian if they're not full of forgiveness and mercy? All right. Now here's another one. I understand this one. I looked this one up. Please, in the sound booth, give me Proverbs 24 and verse 17. And this is how to forgive. And it says here, don't celebrate your enemy's failures. Don't do that. And rejoice not when your enemy falls. And let not your heart be glad when he stumbles. Could I have the next verse also, please? Lest the Lord sees that, and it displeases him, and he turns away his wrath from him. Now, let me explain something. I don't want to be anywhere near anybody that God is dealing with. Because you know what? That stuff can get off on you. I'd rather be a million miles away, and if you're talking about it, oh, you said this, how would happen to Egypt, you're right in the middle of it, man. He might stop it there and put it on you. Why? Because he's obligated himself to be a dad to you. He's obligated himself to teach you what's right. And that's the hardest thing in the world. It's getting harder for you parents every day. The government wants to tell you how to raise your children instead of the Bible. The Bible has the answer. The government has shown how stupid and messed up it really is. So, how to forgive? Don't celebrate your enemy's failures. It's the wrong thing to do. I know I don't. I'm usually the guy that's preaching about all the blessings. I want to line this up with some reality here. I just want you to see another side of things maybe we ought to be looking at. The next one says this, treat your enemy the way you want to be treated. And that's Luke 6:31, please. Luke 6:31. And as you would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. This is the golden rule. Before I knew anything about the Word of God, when I was a kid and made a Sunday school once every a year, I learned the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them to do unto you. How many of you have known that for a long time? Amen. Amen. All right. Finally, the last one here. And this is in Isaiah 43:18. And this is how you know. Stop dwelling on what that person did to you. Stop it in the name of Jesus. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider things of old. In another place in Isaiah, the word says, and I will remember your sins no more. Why? Because if you keep remembering that, you're going to talk about it. And if you keep talking about it, you're going to remember it. So what we have to do, if we're really giving somebody a pass, no, they don't really know it. You know why? Because we just stopped opening our big fat mouths and talking about it. We're leaving it to God, for goodness sakes. Because you know why? We don't know the whole story. We never do. Look at me. We never know the whole story. We don't. The only one that fully knows anybody's heart is God Almighty. I know the heart. Jeremiah chapter 17. Read that chapter. I try the reins of the heart. I'm the only one. So that means everybody that's hurt you, there's nothing wrong with saying, God, help me, I'm hurting. Here's how I pray. Honest to goodness. Father, there's some people hurting me. And as they hurt me, they're causing other new Christians to be hurt. I've got somebody hurting me, saying things about me, and saying them to new converts that I led to the Lord. And if that doesn't rile you up and want to see the judgment on them, but you know what I've learned to pray? Father, I'm trying to do what you want me to do and turn the other cheek. But this person is more willing to hurt me than I am to hurt them. And then leave it at that. You know what? If you want to talk to anybody about anything, talk to God about it. I want all my people, Sophie, Carson, this one, that one. Come on up here. And that one. We're going to give communion. We're going to serve you communion. I'm hoping that as I preached tonight, that you said, my God, I can take a little of that. I needed to hear some of that. Anybody feel like they needed to hear a little bit of that? Okay. All right. That's all then. I'm not going to keep a record. I'm not a trophy hunter, but you know what? I want to expose the truth to a lost and dying generation. And tonight, if y'all